Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. We announce to the congregation that on Friday, April the 3rd, it has pleased the Lord by the hand of death to take out of the midst of the family circle and out of the midst of the congregation Mrs. Archie Ludeman at the age of 63 years. To that end, we shall sing from Psalter 281, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Mindful of our human frailty is the God in whom we trust. He whose years are everlasting, he remembers we are dust. And what follows, as Psalter 281, and the stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 19, the verses 1 through 15. But first we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John 19, the first 15 verses. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, a King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man.
When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him, and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath a greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Marcus Niels, who were blessed with the birth of a daughter, Mr. and Mrs. Raymond the Cook, who were blessed with the birth of a son, the twins of Travis, Mr. and Mrs. Travis the Cook, who remain in the Lethbridge Hospital, and Mr. John Bazoyan, with a continuing consultation with the physicians to see whether surgery is a possibility. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it has pleased thee in thy divine providence and in the way of thy goodness and long-suffering that we may have another Lord's Day. We may still be in the precious day of grace in the land of the living, upon seeking, praying, and finding ground. Then thou yet maketh a difference with others. Also in the midst of the congregation, where it was thy appointed time, after the battle with that dreaded disease, and where she was becoming weaker, and where yet so suddenly and unexpectedly thou wast taking her out of this life and brought her into eternity. And now there is left behind a family that has been plunged into mourning, O Lord. May it please thee to remember. May it please thee to uphold and to comfort them. Grant them a place at thy footstool, where they may come with that sorrow and with all their needs. The husband has now become a widower after being united for many years in the bond of holy matrimony. Wilt thou remember him in a special way, together with the children and the grandchildren? And then above all, we humbly beg of thee that the serious calling of death, that it may be accompanied by the loving and the irresistible work of thy Holy Spirit, that dead sinners may be quickened to eternal life. Lord, remember all the mourning ones. Then with such tidings, then old wounds, they are reopened. Wilt thou continue to strengthen and to remember them? Then thou wast granted in other Lord's Day, under solemn circumstances, were thy hand of judgment is heavy upon the nations of the earth and also upon this nation, O Lord. May there be also in this day, when most of the congregations, most of the members, a few may still gather, that there may be that sadness, that there may be that sorrow, that there may be that longing, that there may be guilt, that there may be repentance, and a crying unto thee, the living God, that thou may grant deliverance, and that it may soon be possible to once more go up to thy courts. Lord, then in the midst of this judgment, then it is so different than many former judgments which thou wast sent upon the earth, which thou wast sent upon different nations, in so many different ways, where in former times, in the way of judgments, then thy houses of worship, they have even become fuller, they were overflowing, and with a sense of thy judgment, of thy wrath, and to whom else shall we go? Because thou hast the words of eternal life, but under this judgment, then thy houses of worship, they have been closed, or only a very few that are gathering together. Ah, Lord, may we be given to see it. May we truly be burdened, and how surely, then in thy patient long-suffering, then thou art waiting that a people may repent, that thy church may come in the guilt, because thou art such a jealous God, also concerning thy house, that it shall not be desecrated, and to that end, O Lord, wilt thou not leave us untouched, hardened, unrepentant, but may it please thee that there may be a bowing in the dust to that end. Under thy judgments may it please thee to grant a rich outpouring of thy Holy Spirit, that we may truly come in the guilt, that we may become the guilty one with no rights, and yet with that need, Lord, may it be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. Thou was written in thy holy word, when there shall be rumors of war, when there shall be earthquakes, when there shall be pestilence, it shall be the beginning of sorrows. Then there are many fears also concerning our daily bread, Lord. May we be given to turning unto ourselves. May we be given to bow where thou art righteous and just in all thy ways. May it become an unbearable burden. Lord, then thou still granteth that a few may gather in thy house, but the greatest part of the congregations, they are bound to their home. They may still listen along. May it not be a hindrance in the way of speaking and in the way of listening. Lord, we humbly beg of thee, under these solemn circumstances, oh, impress it upon all our hearts that thou art speaking in such a special way. May it please thee to grant a rich blessing upon thy holy word, that thy word may be used in this very morning hour, that our boys, our girls, our young people, the middle-aged, and the elderly may be converted by thee unto thee, that sinners may truly be placed in their missing and in their guilt, that they may be given to seek thee, Lord. Spare us and our children, that we build not upon sandy foundations. Wilt thou remember thy children, then in the way of judgments, then thou was something special to say. May it be used in the life of thy people for deeper and further uncovering, but also a further leading, when in these passion weeks that we are called to meditate upon the deep, the unfathomable suffering of thy dear Son, that a guilty people may be saved, and that thy name may and shall be glorified. Remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth on this Lord's day. May the kingdom of Satan be broken down, and may thy kingdom be built up. Then we may acknowledge thee that thou wast spared us from that dreaded disease, us and our children, the congregations hitherto. May we be given to see thy hand therein. And then we may humbly ask thee, our Lord, as a church, then we have sinned so grievously away. We have grieved the Spirit. Then it would be righteous if we all would become sick, and that thou would usher us into eternity. But we may humbly ask thee, that thou may watch over us, but may be according to thy holy will. And also our care home with the elderly residents, wilt thou be mindful of them in a special way, with those that care for them. Then it is pleased thee to bless two family circles with the birth of a little child, a child born in solemn times. Grant unto those parents a humble and a broken heart. May they be given to sprinkle their little child with their tears. On the one hand, an impression of thy goodness, where thou wast spared, where thou wast given life, but also on the other hand, a little child with a beginning, and that shall never cease to exist. A little child with a soul, that need to be saved. May that need be bound upon the heart of the parents. Wilt thou remember the grandparents, the great-grandparents, an added blessing, an added responsibility. Wilt thou remember all the mothers with the unborn, and wilt thou remember the barren ones. We commend unto thee the twins that remain in the hospital. They are doing wonderfully well. Give a heart to the parents to acknowledge thee, and that in due time, that they may be privileged as parents to take their precious gifts to their dwelling. Remember all the sick and all the afflicted, the father with the dreaded disease, with all the consultations with the different physicians. Wilt thou grant wisdom and understanding, and if there may be a way that the means may be blessed. But, O Lord, above all, even when the means may be blessed, it shall only be an extension. He has reached the age of the strong. May this solemn calling be used for him and his dear wife, for their eternal welfare. Wilt thou remember all under the doctor's care? Then we commend unto thee all the sick and afflicted, also in this province, those that are smitten with that disease, especially those that are in hospitals. We commend unto thee all those that work in the medical field. We remember also our government, the premier, and all those that stand at his side. Wilt thou grant wisdom and understanding in these distressful times, and oh, may they be brought on their knees. May there be a time that we may hear it, that they are given to acknowledge that thou reignest over everything, that thou art punishing us and our children for our many sins, and that there may yet come a call to repentance while it may yet and while it can yet. Lord, we now humbly ask thee, wilt thou grant thy gracious help? Wilt thou grant true adherence in hers among young and old? May it please thee to open thy word, to open our lips, and also to open our hearts. Wilt thou be mindful of those that may be privileged to come to thy house? Remember all those that are bound to their home. May it please thee to impress the solemnity of the time upon all our hearts, Lord. May it please thee to pour out the spirit of prayer and of supplication and also of thanksgiving, because surely then we must say with an Ezra of old, that thou dost not punish us and our children as we deserve. We may still be in the precious day of grace, Lord. Thou art still gathering thy church. May it please thee to do it in this very hour. We have many things to ask, nothing to plead upon. Our sins, they are great, and they are manifold, Lord. May that be experienced more and more with an upright confession, accompanied by a deep repentance, and with a cry for mercy, that we may be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 266, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. God is King forever, let the nations tremble. Throned above the cherubim, by all the earth adored. He is great in Zion, high above all peoples. Praise him with fear, for holy is the Lord. The extra collection today is for the school. Psalter 266, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. And they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. Our text words speak of Behold your king. With four thoughts in the first place, an examine king. In the second place, a presented king. In the third place, a suffering king. And in the fourth place, a rejected king. Behold your king, an examined king, a presented king, a suffering king, and a rejected king. Beloved congregations, then our text words, they deal with the last proceedings of Pontius Pilate with Jesus. Since Christ has been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, then much has transpired, first taken to the place of Annas the high priest. They have gathered most of the Sanhedrin together during the night watches. Then he has appeared before Caiaphas, the high priest. There he was examined, and there he was pronounced guilty. Then we are given to see that Jesus was brought from one court to another, that they have sought to find fault with him, but that it was clear that Jesus was innocent. Oh, what a comfort for a people with a burden of sin that have learned that they cannot pay themselves, and that each time by renewal, that they are found guilty, that the Lord Jesus Christ, as that innocent one, that he was led to the cross on account of the sins of his people imputed to him, and therefore he went forth as the Passover lamb. Then in the early morning hour of Friday, then the Jewish Sanhedrin, the leaders, they have brought Jesus before Pontius Pilate. They were not permitted to put anyone to death without the permission of the Roman authorities. Then the scriptures were also being fulfilled. What Jacob has declared on his deathbed, that the shallow shall come. And then he has spoken of the departing of the scepter that was taken place in this very day. And then they have brought three accusations. The first, that he was perverting the nation, The second, that he forbade to pay tribute to Caesar. And in the third place, that he said that he was Christ, the King of Israel. Then in the former chapter, and also written in the Gospels, then much has already taken place concerning that examination. Then in John 18, verse 33, then Pontius Pilate has asked, whether art thou the King of the Jews? And then he has declared that it was so. He was given to tell the leaders and the Jewish people that he found no fault in this man. And then upon his Pilate, then he was given to look for a way out, trying to compromise where his conscience was speaking, that this Jesus which has been brought, it is written in one of the Gospels, that they have delivered him for envy, and yet to seek for a way of compromise, that he could find a way out, he has placed that innocent and holy Jesus opposite a murderer, a thief, Barabbas, and then the Jewish people, under the instigation of the leaders, and then they have called out Barabbas. And then Jesus says, Pontius Pilate has said, what must I do with Jesus? And then we see in these proceedings that Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate, that Pontius Pilate could not remain the same. And now in these Passion weeks, then Sabbath day after Sabbath day, then the suffering mediator may be presented before the congregation. And then may we not turn in unto ourselves and examine how it is in our hearts. Upon his Pilate could not remain the same. We cannot remain the same under the preaching of that suffering Savior who the Father has given, that his church may be saved. And now in this chapter we have heard it. Then Pontius Pilate has given command that Jesus may be scourged. Oh, I read in Psalm 129, verse 3, the plowers have plowed upon my back. Then he hoped that the Jewish people would be aroused to pity. But all the enmity against God and the enmity against the Son of God, that is such a bitter enmity, has begun in paradise. And I read in Romans 8, verse 7, that the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can it be. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, he has brought Jesus forth. And then in verse 5, then he has declared, behold the man. Oh, we find the same words in Genesis 3, verse 22. After Adam and Eve have eaten of that forbidden fruit, then the Lord has declared, behold the man. But oh, what precious instruction for the true child of God with the burden of their sin, who learned that they can never pay themselves, that are given to ask for a mediator, and that may be exercised with the justice of God, that the justice of God is so perfect that he cannot punish in other nature. But oh, then in this chapter, in verse 5, behold the man, there it may be declared unto the church, the human nature of Christ, and to that end he could take the sins of his church upon him and to save his church. Then in verse 7, a further instruction, O people of God, in this season have we now received a little instruction, a little comfort, in the suffering of the Son of God, to behold his willingness, to behold the love of the servant of the Father, but also to experience deeper uncovering, that bitter enmity that lives within, against the Lord, against his Son, against the way of free and sovereign grace. But now for the further instruction, and then also in this chapter, and then upon his Pilate together with the Jewish nation, because the priest they have declared, he made himself the Son of God. There the divine nature of Christ is declared, and to that end, he could be the mediator between a holy God and a fallen sinner. And then further, upon his Pilate, it did not have it so easy under the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. He became more and more troubled. Are there also such people in my midst, boys and girls, youth and older ones, that in this passion season have become more and more troubled? More to be given to see and experience the exceeding sinfulness of sin, that rather than God would let sin go unpunished, that he has punished the same in his beloved Son. Are there souls among young and old that in this passion season that are becoming more and more distressed with everything that you have heard, a sinner still, and with that burden of sin upon your back? Then what a rich proclamation also in this chapter, where it is declared, the Son of Man and the Son of God. And now upon his Pilate, he has become more fearful when he has heard of the Son of God. And then he has taken Jesus into the judgment hall. And then he has asked Jesus concerning those things. And then he said, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. What a solemn time for Pontius Pilate. Also, when he has received no answer, congregations, when we do not hearken to the word of God, when we do not hearken to our conscience, a word the Lord is also speaking unto us and our children in that way, then there shall come a time, it is true, then we can still hear it with our ears, and then we can pray to the Lord, but the Lord will not be mocked. There came a time for Pontius Pilate that there was no answer. Then further, then Jesus was given to answer, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. What a comfort for the church, also under the solemn circumstances, under the judgments of the Lord, where the hand of the Lord is so heavy upon this earth and upon the nations and upon the church. May we be given to feel it, May we be brought into our inner chamber, but it is declared that the Lord has everything in His hands. And now we come to our text, and from thenceforth, Pilate, because Jesus has said, therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath a greater sin. Every sin that we commit is worthy of temporal and eternal punishment. And yet there is a difference in the Westminster Larger Catechism, a question and answer 151. There those instructors have given many reasons why some sins are greater than other. And now we read in verse 12, and from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. Then it has become different, a further difference, it is true, that Pontius Pilate has sought a way to escape. But when he heard those solemn words, and from thenceforth, what a blessing, young and old, when there may be those thenceforths in our life, when it becomes so different. Has that now ever taken place in the way of regeneration? Then there shall be a thenceforth. Then it shall all become different. Then we shall become a poor seeker, but also in the further leadings. What a blessing for a child of God that there may be a thenceforth, whether their exercises become different, oh, in the way of that deeper uncovering to learn that we can never satisfy justice, that with all our works, that we are a guilty and a hell-worthy sinner still, that there may come a thenceforth an asking whether there is a way, because that people do not know how to be converted, whether there is a way for such a rebel, for such a sinner, that is filled with that bitter enmity the same as those Jews, whether there is a way. Oh, when that precious name may be revealed, shall there not be a thenceforth in the life of a child of God, where their exercises shall become different? Oh, then it becomes their delight that that precious Savior may be declared in His necessity, in His preciousness. Oh, that they may hear how that a sinner may be saved, and also the way how a poor sinner may be brought to the cross of Jesus Christ, that that burden may be delivered. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, we must come to our text. And then we read, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, thus that refers to the former examination, but also concerning that Caesar's friend, whosoever maketh himself a king, speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that, then in the examination concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, then we read time and again that it goes especially concerning the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think of the triple cross title written in three languages, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then the rulers, they had difficulty with that subscription. Our second thought, a presented king. Then we read in verse 14, then Pontius Pilate, then he has brought Jesus forth from inside the judgment hall in the presence of the people. And then he has said unto the multitude, behold, your king. What a statement and what a presentation that Pilate has stated in those three words, behold your king. Then we read that Pontius Pilate has come outside upon the pavement called in Hebrew Gabbatha, and that he sat down in the judgment seat. That signifies that he would make a final verdict concerning Jesus, who the leaders and the Jewish people have brought to that judgment place. And then he has declared, behold your king. What a precious proclamation, congregations. And now upon his Pilate, how has he now said those words? Oh, undoubtedly in discouragement. He had a desire, his conscience has spoken. His wife has also had a dream. It was his intention that he would set Jesus free. And then we see, congregations, what a danger it is. The beginning of compromise. And now with all his intentions, and now at this moment, and then he has brought Jesus forth, and he has declared, behold your king. Oh, what a precious proclamation that is. Also for us and our children in these dark and solemn times. The psalmist has said in Psalm 99, the Lord reigneth. Behold your king, the king of the church, the king that is gathering, the king that is preserving, and the king that is defending his church. Behold your king. Do you hear it, boys and girls? Then Pontius Pilate did not say, behold my king, but he said, your king. And how is that now in this morning hour concerning what a riches in that proclamation? Because Jesus is the King of Kings. Not saying that Pontius Pilate understood it. Not saying that the Jewish people understood it. But what a rich proclamation. What a depth in those three words. Behold your king. And that is for the true church. And that is for the true Zion. Behold your king. We live in a day that there are many also under the circumstances with the sickness and with all the consequences in the economy. And we may fear perhaps only the beginning of sorrows, that there are many people who still have religion. We are far gone also in our country. How many people there are that never set their feet in a house of God. But there is still much religion, and also under these judgments, then it is evident that there are still many consciousness that are speaking an impression of the end times, that even people that are not so church-oriented, that they are even given to think of these things. And now there are many people that desire the Lord as King, that may care, that may provide, and that may protect. Is that our condition, congregation? That we need the Lord for outward things, concerning sickness, concerning our daily bread, but that do not need Jesus as priest. As long as they have Him as King, and the Lord blesses them, the family circle, for their daily bread, that they may have prosperity, then they are happy. But they do not need Jesus as priest. And why? Because they never have deeply been uncovered to their sins. Does not mean that we can never have conscience convictions. But now when the true work of the Lord has a people that needs that precious mediator in His threefold office. Oh, behold your King. Ah, for the people of God. What an encouragement. Also under the judgments of the Lord. What a precious proclamation. The King, who has declared before He has ascended into heaven, in Matthew 28, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. The King who has everything in His hands. The King who has declared in His word, in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, that the church shall not be tempted above that they are able to bear. Oh, the King who has declared in His word, in Romans 8, verse 28, that all things shall work together for good to them that love Him, that are called according to His purpose. Oh, the King that has declared in His word that the hairs of our head are all numbered, the King that ruleth over everything. Oh, behold your King. Is that not a precious proclamation for a people that have no might in themselves against that triple-headed enemy? Oh, many times so discouraged, and many times so downcast, even times that they are afraid that they shall perish, and many times that they have many concerns, because the Lord tries His people, oh, that they may be given to experience, because behold your King, that is more for the child of God than only in their understanding, that is experienced in a way of deep uncovering and special experience. Ah, the Lord many times brings them in those deep ways. The Lord sends many a trial upon them. But oh, then upon His pilot, then He may declared, behold your King. Oh, it is the King that has purchased His church. Concerning that kingship, we also live in a day that there is a Christendom that has a wonderful confession that speak of Christ as high priest. They speak of the forgiveness of sins with such an assurance. But that is a people that does not desire Him as King. They do not love His reign. They speak of needing a sacrifice, but they do not love a service. Then even our youth can understand that it can never be. Behold your King. under these solemn circumstances, then what of prayers? And it is true. Alas, we live in a time that there is so much prayerlessness. What a blessing it would be also this province would ask for a day of prayer, that they would say, for a special day, that the churches, everyone may gather, and that there would be an attempt to yet ask the Lord with a confession of sin, to ask the Lord that He may yet show a little mercy. But now concerning, behold, your King, then there are many in these solemn days that need the Lord when they are sick with all their fears. But congregation, in this precious proclamation, behold your King, then a King also has laws. A King has an army. The King has a banner. The King grants unto his army weapons, and that separates between the nominal Christendom and the true child of God. Oh, in the true work of the Lord, then they do not only need Christ as King concerning the temporal needs, as a blessing, and the closer and the more tender the life of a child of God may be, the more they may experience that kingship also in the way of God's providence, to behold His wonderful hand and deliverance in the hour of trial, when the Lord makes a way where there is no way, even a raven and a protection for a Daniel in the den of lions. But the true child of God goes not only about the gifts, but it goes about the King Himself. And then they desire that communion. Oh, then they desire that the King may speak a word. And then they are willing. Oh, it is true. They have much to confess. And nevertheless has the Apostle Paul not written to his spiritual son Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 3 to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then it is the desire of those true subjects of behold your King, that they may be placed under that banner. Do we not read in Psalm 60 verse 4, behold, thou wast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Oh, then those soldiers, then the King grants them those weapons, as we read in Ephesians 6, the verses 12 through 18. Behold your King, young and old, who was our King. Has that wonder ever taken place? Have we ever made that good choice? Have we ever been turned around? That shall become evident in our life. But what shall then be experienced? Oh, concerning that battle, concerning those soldiers, that they are such poor soldiers. Oh, then with an impression of their guilt, that they have grieved the King, that they fall oftentimes into temptation, then behold your King. Oh, then how necessary that priestly office of Christ becomes, people of God. How far may we come in this Passion season, and to that end, when upon his Pilate, when he has declared, behold your King, then it is declared the suffering King. That is our third thought, but let us first sing. A Psalter 184, the stanza 6, 7, and 9. It is for thee I am reproached. For thee I suffer shame, until my brethren know me not, and hated is my name. And what follows? Psalter 184, the stanzas 6, 7, and 9. Behold your king, an examined king, a presented king, and now a suffering king. And the Lord has a people upon the earth. 'Tis the work of the Holy Spirit to make room in the heart of his child for that precious Savior. And now concerning that presented King in paradise, we have tried to climb upon the throne. The awful sin of pride, and the Holy Spirit shall uncover his true child to that sin. More and more also concerning the words of Pontius Pilate, behold your king. When the king holds those contrary and mysterious ways in the life of a child so unfathomable that they cannot see it, they cannot understand it. Then how would it experience that enmity against the reign of the King? Oh, necessary the prayer of the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Concerning that presentation, behold your King. Concerning to be saved by free and sovereign grace, the carnal mind is enmity against the Lord, a bitter enmity. 'Tis declared in the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one is led deeper than the other, but the child of God shall not place himself above the priests, above the multitude, and therefore the need of a suffering King, because it is written in our text, and it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. When we read of the preparation of the Passover, we know that Christ and the disciples, they have eaten the Passover the evening before. Then it seems to refer to the whole feast or to the special Passover Sabbath. And concerning the time, then it is evident that the Apostle John, that he uses a different method of stating the hours, a different time than the other three gospel writers have used. We shall leave it lie, not always so easy to reconcile, but it is written in our text, and it was the preparation of the Passover. And now concerning the Passover, then it was necessary that the Passover lamb would be examined by the priest. And so also the Lord Jesus Christ, who was called the Passover in the New Testament, then he was led from one court to the other, and then he was examined whether there was any blemish. Because when the Jewish people would come with their lamb and there would be a blemish, then the priests, the rulers would declare that such a lamb could not be sacrificed. But then it is clear that Christ, as the Passover lamb, that he was innocent, he was white. The bride in the Song of Solomon has stated concerning her beloved that he was white and ruddy and the chiefest among 10,000s. But now the church does not only need a Passover lamb that is white, no blemish of himself, no original and no actual sin. But now the true child of God also needs a lamb that has become ruddy. And how that is declared in our text words, because when Pontius Pilate has brought Jesus outside, out of the hall, then it is clear that he was still wearing the crown of thorns, that he was still wearing the purple robe, and to that end, the suffering King, that shall be experienced, that is the work of the Spirit, to glorify Christ in the hearts of his children. And to that end, the suffering King, the bleeding King, the bleeding Lamb, he has become ruddy. Why has he become ruddy? When the Lamb was perfectly white, it was because the sins of his church have been laid upon him. And to that end, judicially, under his Father's hand, he was given to suffer and to die, has taken the crown of thorns. We read in Genesis 3 that thorns and thistles, they were part of the curse. Then with the suffering King, with the crown of thorns, do we not read in 1 Corinthians that he was made sin? 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. And in Galatians 3 verse 13, that he was made a curse. Oh, young and old, are there souls in this passion season with a burden of sin that are laboring under that curse? Behold your King. Behold your suffering King. And then it may be declared with these words, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, but also with a mock robe, that in that way he may merit the garment of righteousness for his people. Behold the suffering King. May I ask you in this morning hour, has that need ever been wrought in our heart for the suffering Savior? In the second place, have we received that revelation, white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000s? And in the third place, the application, behold your King. And now Pontius Pilate has placed the leaders, the great multitude of the Jews. There were those that have followed from afar, a little flock. What precious words, behold your King. That little flock, by the grace of God, they have made that precious choice for the Lord and for his service. The Jewish people were placed before a choice, our forethought, a rejected a King. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. What a choice, clearly rejected the King, which has performed so many miracles. Those blessed hands that have broken the bread, which have been laid upon the sick, they said, away with him, away with him. Then we read further, Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Oh, what an hypocrisy by the Jewish people. They had such a bitter hatred against the Romans and against Caesar. And yet the Jews, the chief priest answered, oh, we have no king but Caesar. Oh, what a proclamation. And then with that statement, then they have asked judgment upon themselves. And then they have declared that they were under the Romish Empire. In that statement, they were declaring that the end has come for the Jewish nation. Upon Pontius Pilate, it was because of that accusation that the Jews have brought in verse 12. If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Then it is evident that there were many things amiss in the reign of Pontius Pilate. In Luke 13, there we read that the sacrifices were mingled with blood. Pontius Pilate has feared that if the Jewish nation would accuse him before Caesar Tiberius, then it would be the end of his kingdom. Thus for Pontius Pilate, it was concerning his own honor and his own power that he has finally given Jesus over. Then we see congregation, what an awful thing that sin is. How many mouths are closed in the way of warning because of special sins that have been committed. And now Pontius Pilate has given Jesus over because he was concerned about his honor and about his kingdom. Concerning the King of Kings, how many may we be given to turn and unto ourselves? How many refuse to bow under the scepter of King Jesus because they have many other kings? The king of lust, the king of materialism, the king of riches, the king of addictions. You may multiply it out that they are not willing to give up those matters, to choose. And has Christ not said in the Sermon in the Mount, in Matthew 6, verse 24, ye cannot serve God and mammon together. The Jewish people, they have made a clear choice, and they have said, away with him, away with him. Crucify him, behold your king, young and old. Then in this morning, the king, the suffering king, who has purchased his bride with such a great price, with the price of his precious blood, then that king may be presented before you. The King that is all power in heaven and upon earth, because we have heard it in this chapter, that it was only a given power that upon his Pilate could exercise, but also the suffering King, when he was presented with a crown of thorns and with that mock robe. And now when this morning, behold your King, then that King may be presented before you. Then the Jewish people, they were required to make a choice. They have chosen. Then also in this morning hour, under the proclamation of behold your King, then you are required to make a choice, whether for the King of Kings, for his law, for his ways, for his institutions, for his service, or whether to choose for the things of the world and a way of self-righteousness. Oh, what a responsibility is laid upon each and every one of us each time when we may hear the proclamation of law and gospel. Also in this morning, behold your King. Oh, then I hear a people say, but I cannot convert myself. Oh, then our old fathers have said, keep then your excuses for the day of days, because then it shall be, then we shall behold the King upon the clouds of heaven to judge the quick and the dead, and then the separation shall be seen. Oh, those on the right who have chosen, who have desired him to be King, oh, it is true, as servants, as handmaidens, they shed many a bitter tears on account that they are so unprofitable, but how necessary, how precious, each time by renewal, that suffering King becomes. Oh, young and old, may we then ask you in this morning, with Matthew 22, verse 42, what think ye of Christ? What think ye of the King, whom upon his Pilate has brought forward? Oh, what think ye of the suffering King? Oh, through that King it may be declared that a church may be saved, my unconverted fellow travelers, that you may be given in this day to come in secret places, and oh, to ask the Lord to give a new heart with those new desires and those new longings. Oh, may we not deceive ourselves, the true child of God, then he needs that precious Christ in his prophetical office to instruct, in that kingly office to guide, to lead, to protect, to preserve, but oh, that priestly office, that they may be forgiven of all their sins. Behold your King, oh, in the day of days, then we shall all see the King, young and old. And then on what side shall we stand? Then we better ask, on what side are you standing this morning hour? Not a middle way. Either under the banner of the King of Kings, with those living desires, or still under the banner of the Prince of Darkness. The Apostle Paul has written to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22, if any man, does that include everyone this morning, any man, not only some, and of course man, that includes boys and girls and young people, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. That means, let him be cursed. Maranatha, and that means the Lord cometh. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then we have heard in this morning of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The prophet of old has said that there is no form nor comeliness that we should desire him, no beauty, that we should desire him, then we seek it in the things here below or in the way of religion. But, oh no, that King of Kings, it is his work to gather that church, to grant unto subjects new hearts, that may love, that may seek, that may serve him, and that may need him as the suffering King. Oh, Lord, may thou do it in this very day. May each and every one be given to turn to themselves, concerning, behold, your King. Ah, Lord, when we are still unconverted, make that reality in this day, and then we shall be given to cry mightily unto thee, that we may belong to that little flock, which thou wast chosen, which thou wast purchased, which thou shalt preserve, which thou shalt keep, which thou shalt teach for that little flock, that may be given to praise thee here in beginning for thy wonderful works. O wonder-doing God, wilt thou use the solemn circumstances of the time to that end, that we may be given to examine ourselves? Wilt thou remember each and every one on the Sabbath day? May we be given to keep it holy. Wilt thou bring us further? Wilt thou grant opportunity by renewal to either come up to thy house or to listen to thy word in this day? Wilt thou grant a prayer for one another? Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 200, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest regions shall his empire be. And what follows? On behalf of the consistory, we wish to announce that concerning the funeral arrangements for Mrs. Acha Ludeman, there's opportunity for condolences and viewing at the Ludeman residence from Monday through Wednesday. The family requests first to call them to make an appointment to limit the numbers present on account of the coronavirus. For the same reason, the funeral will be a private family service held here in the church on Thursday at 11 o'clock in the morning, with the possibility for everyone to listen along. There will be a Good Friday service on Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning. The extra collection will be for the Synodical Education Committee. Psalter 200, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.